Chapter 8. Requiem for a Roommate. The girls' dorm is a long, timber-frame building overlooking the lake, with a wide front porch lined with rocking chairs. Miss Nurani escorts me there, where all the other 7th-grade girls are settling into their rooms. We stop outside the door, and I can hear giggling and shouting inside.
If you need anything, ask for Phoebe. She's your senior captain.
Miss Nurani gives me a black bag.
I found a uniform and shoes that ought to fit. And here is your room key. Oh, and the cafeteria will send over a sack dinner for you soon, since you missed the evening meal. Good luck, dear.
She hands me a little wooden whistle with 3 holes in it. It's the oddest-looking key I've ever seen. Drawing a deep breath, I head into the dorm. At least the maestros are keeping this between me and them. The other students never have to know that I accidentally got accepted into Mistwick. I just have to blend in for the next 2 months, focus on my studies, and all of this will blow over. This may have all started as a big mistake, but I can fix it. If I can just stop being the Amelia who screwed up her audition and instead become someone better, more talented, more disciplined, more like the other students. I'll practice every single hour of the day. I won't miss any classes. I'll do every extra credit assignment. I am not going to give them a single reason to expel me. From here on, Amelia Jones will be known as the perfect student. Inside the dorm, I find a scene of chaos. Girls running up and down the hallway, dragging suitcases, yelling for dibs on showers. Quietly, I take my key and go from door to door, listening to the others squeal when they find the doors their whistles open. Victoria and Amari discover their roommates and immediately start planning how they'll decorate their room. An older, blonde girl, who must be Phoebe, sees me standing in the hallway like a dummy, my eyes wide and probably looking totally overwhelmed. She looks pretty worn out herself, her cheeks flushed and her ponytail half fallen down.
"What's your name, Guppy?"
she asks in a tired Australian accent. "Amelia," I say, my voice little more than a squeak under all the noise. "Amelia Jones."
"Right, then you're down at the end in the..."
"What did you say?" hisses a voice right behind me. I turn around and see a girl standing there, wearing a blue dress, her black silky hair cut to her shoulders, framing her dark eyes and narrow face. I start. The girl's hand darts out and grabs my shoulder.
"What did you say your name was?"
I swallow hard, not sure why my stomach suddenly feels like it's flooded with scrambling mice. "My name is Amelia. Amelia Jones." The girl sucks in a breath, and her eyes suddenly fill with tears. Bewildered, I step back, bumping into Phoebe.
"Hey,"
Phoebe says, staring in shock at the girl.
"Come on now. No tears on day one. Little early to be homesick, don't you think?"
I thought... The girl's face is very pale.
"When I heard that name, I thought it was..."
With that, she turns and runs out of the dorm altogether, pushing through the other girls. Phoebe sighs.
"What the heck was that about?"
Another student answers, one of the ones the girl pushed on her way out. I remember this one from our Zeppelin, and because her name alliterates, Claudia the clarinetist from Canada. "That was Darby," she says. "I didn't think she'd still come to school, not after what happened to Amelia Jones."
"What?"
I whisper. "Everyone at dinner was talking about it," says Claudia. "She and Darby were best friends. They used to go to the same music craft camp as me, and they were always together."
"Oh, right," Phoebe says. "I heard about that girl. She was some kind of piano prodigy. Real sad story."
Immediately, I feel sorry for the girl in the blue dress. I can't imagine what it would be like to lose your best friend, and only a month ago. They were supposed to come here together. No wonder she looked at me like I was a ghost. I groan and rub my face.
"So,"
Phoebe pats my shoulder awkwardly.
"2 Amelia Joneses. Weird coincidence. You all right then?"
"Yeah." I look down at my shoes, feeling like a total fraud.
Maybe it's not my fault, but it is true that if she hadn't died, I wouldn't even be here at all. As far as any of the other kids know, I got here the same way the rest of them did, by being a good musician. Though Claudia is giving me a suspicious look. I quickly turn away, before she can see the guilt in my eyes. Phoebe shows me my room, which is at the end of the hall, the door shut. There are two silver nameplates nailed to it, one blank, the other with the name Hamako Bradshaw. Leaving me to it, Phoebe goes to check on the crying girl. Taking a deep breath, I raise the whistle to my lips and blow, covering each hole in slow succession the way I've seen the other girls do, producing three smooth notes, C, E, E-flat. It's a haunting little tune, but I hear a click and look up to see the door creaking open in response. And on the blank nameplate, letters materialize. Amelia Jones. I look at my own name uneasily and wonder if it even is my own name. Or was this room also meant for the other Amelia? Am I just inheriting an entire life that was never supposed to be mine, from a spot at this school to the pillow I'll sleep on? With a little shiver, I step inside and look around. The space is long and narrow, with a bed on either wall and a desk at each end. A sign on the wall reads, "Practice in designated rooms only, no music in the dorms." Noting an old scorch mark on the ceiling, I wonder how many people set fires or unleashed floods in their room before they had to make that rule. My duffel bag is waiting on the floor. Beside it sits a suitcase, expensive, black, and polished, along with two instrument cases, one for an oboe and another I don't recognize. Snooping outright, I peek inside and see a kind of wooden flute. Some students, I learned on the Zeppelin, bring secondary instruments that they get special tutoring with. Whoever Hamako is, she's clearly very talented. I run my hands over the desks, feeling the grooves and dents from generations of students bearing down too hard with their pencils. Opening the bag Miss March gave me, I take out my very own Mistwick uniform. I unfold the sweater vest with the school crest on the front. It's just like the one my mom was wearing in her graduation picture. Holding it now, I can almost feel her standing behind me. Which room was hers? Did she have a view of the forest or the lake? What if she even had this room? I stand up and go to the window, staring at the water, beginning to smile. Maybe I didn't get here the same way as everyone else, but I'm here. All I have to do is prove I deserve to stay. "You've got to be kidding me," says a voice. I whirl around, startled. The girl from the hallway, Darby, is standing in the doorway, her gaze boring into me and her whistle key glinting in her hand. Her eyes are still red from crying. Hello, I say. "I'm not sure you got the right room." She jabs her finger at Hamako Bradshaw's nameplate. "Darby's my middle name. So, you're the replacement then?" My heart jumps into my throat. What? How does she know my secret already? Am I that guilty looking? "My replacement roommate," she says flatly. "Since my original one died." "Oh," I say weakly, only a little relieved. I guess so. So I didn't just take the other Amelia's dorm room. I inherited her roommate, too.